invite you to rise as you're able and sing together our opening hymn.
Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Please remain standing for our confession of sin and faith. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using these words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Are there any additional prayer concerns, we can pray about together. Okay, let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day that we can come here together to worship you. And thank you, Lord, for providing means that those who are unable to come might yet hear your word proclaimed and your praises sung, and might participate at home as they can in this time. Lord, we do continue to pray for our nation, for our world, Lord, that you would bring an end to concerns for this pandemic. And Lord, that you would help all those who have lost loved ones, who have lost businesses, and who have struggled in other ways. Lord, we pray for those who mourn in this season, Lord, when so often the thoughts are of gathering with family. And Lord, we pray your comfort for those who will be missing a loved one this Christmas. We pray too, Lord, that you would continue your work through your servants sent to the nations, Lord, to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those who have not yet had the opportunity to hear. We think of Joel and Liz, and we pray that you would continue to raise up a new generation of young people ready to learn and pray and give and go, as Joel and Liz share about the work that you've called them to. Lord, we pray for the Hoshes, and that you would bless them this Christmas. Grant them health and safety. Lord, encouragement and help as they continue to learn language and develop relationships and find ways to share you to the people you've called them to. We pray your blessing upon all who will be traveling, either from here or to here or elsewhere. Lord, grant safe travel mercies and bless gatherings where they may occur. And help those too, Lord, who will be not able to gather with loved ones this Christmas. May the news that you have come with us be of special comfort and strength to them, to all of us, this Christmas. So, Lord, we lift up these prayers. We pray for those who are sick as well, Lord, that you would bring healing and recovery and restoration, and all the unspoken prayers of our hearts into your hands. Into the name of Jesus, we pray them. And we also pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we too ask that you'd bless now the preaching of your word as Pastor Eric brings it. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel text this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of our Lord. I'm sure we're all familiar with this gospel text. God sends his angel Gabriel to a small town in Nazareth to a young woman named Mary. And he reveals that she will give birth to the Son of God. Immediately before this, in the Gospel of Luke, we find a strikingly similar story. Again, the angel Gabriel appears, announcing an impossible pregnancy. The angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, John the Baptist. Zechariah was a priest, and the angel appeared to him while he was serving in the temple in Jerusalem. It is also worth noting that we are given a description of Zechariah and Elizabeth's virtue. They are described as being righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. After Gabriel tells Zechariah that his wife will give birth to a son, he asks, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." This is a reasonable question, but notice the difference in Mary's response when Gabriel gives her arguably more absurd news that she, a virgin, would give birth to a son. Mary responds, "How will this be?" I think there's a subtle but important difference between these two responses. Zechariah asked how he could be sure that his wife would give birth to a son. The absurdity of this announcement was too unbelievable for Zechariah. It was too much for him to blindly accept. He wanted some proof. He wanted to know how he could be sure. And I would be right there with him. If my wife was barren or too old to conceive, I would also have some doubt about this news. But when Gabriel announced to Mary that she would give birth to a son, she responds, "How will this be?" She doesn't ask, "How can this be?" or "How can she know?" She is simply curious as to how this impossible pregnancy was to take place. So Gabriel tells her that by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, she will give birth, because no word from God will ever fail. While these two birth announcements are very similar, it's interesting where the differences lie. We are told of Zechariah and Elizabeth's virtue. We are also told that Zechariah was a priest serving in Jerusalem. But the only description of Mary that we get before Gabriel's announcement is that she is a virgin, pledged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the King David. Also notice the difference in location between these two announcements. Gabriel appears to Zechariah while he was serving in the temple in Jerusalem, while Gabriel appears to Mary in the seemingly insignificant small town of Nazareth. If I was going to guess whether Mary or Elizabeth would give birth to the Savior of the world, my bet would be on Elizabeth. But as we so often see, God works through the mundane, the ordinary, the unexpected, to accomplish his purposes. Given their circumstances, Elizabeth and Mary were terrible candidates for pregnancy, which made them perfect candidates for God to work miracles. Through the impossibility of these pregnancies, God makes his glory and power known. When Gabriel greets Mary, he tells her that the Lord is with her. This is very important. When God told Moses that he was with him, plagues rained down from heaven, and the Israelites were freed from over 400 years of slavery in Egypt. God told Gideon that he was with him, and that he was going to defeat the Midianites. Remember, Gideon had 32,000 men to fight against the Midianites, which sounds impressive, but it meant that they were outnumbered by more than 4 to 1. And even that wasn't absurd enough for God. He kept sending men away until Gideon's army was only 300 men. But God was with Gideon. And for that reason, those 300 men were victorious. The power to accomplish these impossible things is found in God alone. When God says that he is with someone, big things happen. Glorious, impossible, miraculous things happen. In our text today, we receive the announcement of the glorious, impossible, miraculous coming of the most significant person in history, the Word of God. Gabriel announced that this very Word of God would be made flesh, Jesus Christ, who was God himself, and yet was also fully human. He was going to come through an insignificant virgin girl. Mary was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. In this short passage, each of the three persons of the Trinity is referenced. When Mary asks how this miracle will be accomplished, Gabriel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." God sent his messenger, Gabriel, to deliver his word to Mary. And in that way, Gabriel is functioning similarly to a preacher, delivering the word of God to God's people. This morning, we sing the hymn, Come Now, Long Expected Jesus. In the second verse, we sing, "Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit rule in our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne." The word that I have for you this morning is the same as Gabriel's word to Mary. You have found favor with God. Not because of your accomplishments, not because you strive to be holy, certainly not because we deserve it. We have found favor with God because our long-expected Jesus has come. He has delivered us and now reigns in us and rules our hearts by his eternal spirit. You have found favor with God because God himself sent his Son that you might be clothed in his righteousness. He sent his Son that you might be baptized into his death and resurrection. He sent his Son that you might be redeemed. This child king, born of the Virgin Mary, is a gracious gift beyond all measure. And when we recognize our sinful condition, we might be troubled to understand how this wonderful gift could be given to such sinners like us. The season of Advent is all about the anticipation of the arrival of this promised Savior. The Lutheran pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come." We might find ourselves troubled a lot these days between the pandemic and civil unrest. I mean, there are plenty of reminders of our sinful condition. So if you find yourself troubled, if you find yourself troubled of your own imperfection, take comfort in the knowledge that there is one who has come and who is coming again. Our Savior, through whom we can receive these words, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, and we acknowledge you as the source of all good things. We thank you for sending your word to us, our Savior, your Son. We ask that you would make us to receive Christ with joy, that we might become one with him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. For that good news. I invite you again to rise as you're able. Let us sing. Lo, how a rose there blooming.
Know he will guide you in all and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.